And our last reading for today is going to be from Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Lord, we know you are working and have been working even before we got up this morning. Your Holy Spirit led us here. We are here at your good pleasure. No matter how we felt coming here, no matter what we're dealing with as we sit here, we trust, Lord, that your presence guided us here. Help us understand your Holy Spirit more this morning, and especially Paul's beautiful words about your Holy Spirit's work in our lives. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you are the author and perfecter of our faith. So, Lord God, that you are working something in us. You are doing something much greater than we can feel or see. And that you're working that out through your Holy Spirit. Give you all the praise and glory because you are worthy of it in our lives. And we thank you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Lately, the youth leaders and I, Sung and Lester and Grace, we've been reading a book that has been helping us understand how we can help to develop and cultivate kind of a deep faith that lasts throughout all the storms and trials of life, that kind of sticks throughout the different paths that we take. It's called Sticky Faith. And as I've been reading that book, I've been reminded of the stickiest of tapes that I really love, actually. It's called duct tape. You may know it. Duct tape has always been really my solution to most of my household problems. Not so much anymore because my wife won't allow it, even though we have one and I have a couple extra hidden away. I even have one in my office. But duct tape, when I was single, especially, if you'd come to my apartment through the years, you would see many things held together by duct tape. I think it started in high school when I went on a camping trip and we broke one of our tent poles and we had some duct tape and voila, it was fixed. And then throughout the years, you know, a lamp breaks and, you know, just fix it with duct tape. No problem. A mug breaks. I had at least one mug that was, you know, kind of stitched together by duct tape, my duct tape mug that I would use. And even once when I was mountain biking, I actually cut myself, and my friends, what did they do? They stitched me up with duct tape until we could go to the hospital because it was going to be a few miles down the trail. So I've always liked duct tape, and mostly because it's super sticky. I mean, if you've ever put a poster up on your wall with duct tape, you know that you're not going to be able to get that thing off. You're going to have to, like, scrape the duct tape off of that. And in my apartments, you know, throughout my single life, I definitely had many duct tape marks, you know, and when I'd move out of those apartments because I put up every poster with duct tape. As we think about our passage today, and especially Paul has been urging us to a sticky faith, a faith that sticks in our life, especially through the doubts and the fears, the worries, the anxieties, all the ups and downs that our life takes. Paul here is now, in our passage today, talking about the adhesive that holds our faith together. We've been talking about all the blessings that God has given to us these past month and a half as we've been studying Ephesians. Been talking about the blessing of being chosen and adopted, redeemed, forgiven. And now we've talked about the outcome of all this last week, about how we have this inheritance. We've been made God's possession, his treasured possession, out of no choice about what's in our heart, but only because of what's in God's heart. And so this week, Paul reminds us that what holds that all together, the duct tape of our Christian life, is the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. For Paul, and really for all the writers throughout the scriptures, that is what holds everything together. It's the glue that holds all those blessings in our life. Without the Holy Spirit in our life, none of those blessings take hold. Our faith does not become sticky. It doesn't stick to our life, and it doesn't stick to others' lives around us. But the Holy Spirit is that duct tape that holds all of those blessings in. Yet as we know, if you spent any time in church, the Holy Spirit is a hard subject to understand. You know, I'm sure represented in this church is really kind of the diversity of the understandings of the Holy Spirit in the church a universal. I'm sure in this church there are a few people who have had experiences like we celebrate this week. This is Pentecost Sunday, where we celebrate the first church in Acts and how they were overwhelmed by the presence of the Holy Spirit, coming down in tongues of fire and flame and with different languages, everyone speaking every language from around the world together. And there might be a few of us in this room that have had that overwhelming kind of experience. I know I've had kind of an experience, not that intense, but something like that. And so when you have that kind of experience, like some of us in this room may have had, you begin to assume that, well, we don't really have the Holy Spirit unless we have that kind of experience. And so there may be other people in this room, though, that have never had that experience and may be critical of that experience. Might think, well, actually, maybe that's not a sign of the Holy Spirit. It's just a sign of being riled up together in a group or just some kind of emotional, you know, sensationalism. And so we might think, if you've never had that experience, that, well, yeah, the Holy Spirit just kind of works in the background and doesn't really do much that we can see, but is just kind of always working kind of like, you know, air conditioning in a room. You don't really sometimes hear it if you have a quiet air conditioner or you tone it out, but it's there working. And so you'd be skeptical of kind of those more outward manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Those are kind of the poles of the Christian world. You know, either the Holy Spirit only comes in signs and wonders, or the Holy Spirit never comes in signs and wonders. And so probably most of us are somewhere along that spectrum. And there may be even a few of us in this room saying, what is Pastor Chris talking about? I don't understand this language. It's like a foreign language. Holy Spirit, what is that? You know, if you've not been a Christian for that long, I know for me, when I first started coming to church, the idea of the Holy Spirit was this very kind of weird, mystical concept, especially the ways people would talk about it. Like, what are you talking about? I first went to church and there was a lady dancing in the back pew, and I was like, why is she dancing? I don't get it. Never come to church before. And I asked someone later, and they're like, oh, she's filled with the Holy Spirit. What? I don't want to dance in the back of the church. I hope I don't get what she got. You know, that would be really bad and embarrassing because I don't dance very well. But basically, regardless of what we feel about the Holy Spirit or our kind of experience of the Holy Spirit, we see that Paul is defining the Holy Spirit as a gift, not a gift to some people, but a gift to all people, and especially a gift to those who have received the inheritance, those who have heard and believed. This is the gift. It's that duct tape that holds your whole life together and guides us deeper into a kind of sticky faith that will hold throughout all that life can throw at you and will only deepen in the midst of those struggles. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about that hope you have, that you have this presence in your life that cares about you, that is working in your life, that sometimes might be hounding you, might be chasing you to come back to God's love and to know God's grace. And we're going to talk especially about the three ways that Paul defines the Holy Spirit's work in our passage in Ephesians. Paul describes the Holy Spirit's work in language that we don't often use in describing the Holy Spirit. He describes the Spirit, firstly, as a promise kept by God. Secondly, he describes the Holy Spirit as a seal on your life. And thirdly, he describes the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of God's work and its fulfillment. So we're going to talk a little bit about those three aspects of the Spirit's work in your life, if you believe in Jesus Christ, and also about how you can live in the Holy Spirit and how you can receive more of what the Holy Spirit has to give you. So firstly, as we talk about the promise, I know some of you have been listening to the new album by Mumford & Sons, Wilder Mind. And as I was listening to it this week, I was kind of caught by one of the lyrics in the song Believe that kind of really connects, I think, with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Marcus Mumford writes that, I don't even know if I believe everything you're trying to say to me, so open up my eyes and tell me I'm alive. This is never going to go our way if I'm going to have to guess what's on your mind. And even though he probably wrote that about a girl, who knows, still it can kind of connect with what we are longing for with the Holy Spirit. I mean, often, I know when I firstly hear that line, I don't even know if I believe. I feel that kind of connects with everybody. Sometimes, I think oftentimes, we look at faith and go, ah, I don't even know if I believe anymore. Especially if we find ourselves struggling or broken or wandering away, or we see other people wandering away, we go, is this really true? Is this really happening? You know, is God really working? I know when I open the paper a lot, I get that feeling. I see the overwhelming amount of evil in this world, and I go, God, where are you working? And the blessing of our faith is that God never shies away from us asking those questions. You can look throughout the book of Psalms, and many holy people, including King David himself, asked those kind of questions and worse. You know, Psalm 22 that we read at Easter time, God, why have you forsaken me? That's allowable in the Christian life to ask those questions. Why is it allowable? Because God is giving us an assurance of his promise that even we can look to, even when we have those questions, I don't even know if I believe you anymore. We can look to God and ask him that and know that God is responding in a very personal way. And that's the Holy Spirit. You know, I think Mumford & Sons always has a sense of Christian faith. So there's always this sense of, I don't even know if I believe, so open up my eyes. And that's the promise of the Holy Spirit that we see through the Holy Spirit, that we see throughout the scriptures, that God promised, he's promised through prophets, that God will open up our eyes, that God will do the work in our lives so that we can actually be awakened to faith. There's always this sense throughout the scriptures that on our own, we can't believe. On our own, we will never have a thriving, passionate faith in God. We will never be able to hold on to faith in the midst of the storms of our lives on our own. So faith is a gift, and God has promised to give us that gift. That's why Paul says in verse 13 that it's the promised Holy Spirit. You know, and the promised is, any promise is dependent on the giver of the promise. All of us know that. You know, we may not keep our promises, but we know how important a promise kept is for us. If someone has ever broken a promise in your life, it is tremendously hurtful. You know, we've all had that feeling where someone says they will do something, someone says they will give something, and they don't do it. Yeah, we know that feeling. Even my saying it, I'm sure you're thinking about that person or that situation that happened where that person, oh, they didn't keep their promise. And it can hurt us for years after. So the importance of Paul saying that it's the promised Holy Spirit is that the promise is contingent on the promise giver. So if God does not give us what he promised, then everything he said is worthless in our lives. We should go somewhere else. We should enjoy the day. Go to the park. Hang out. You know, hang out. Don't be here. It's all dependent on how God fulfills the promise. And we see that Jesus here talks about the promise. In our passage from John, Jesus says, I'm going away, but I'm going to give you this counselor who's going to reveal to you all the things you need to know and is going to lead you to Christ and is going to give you peace, not as the world gives, but my peace within you. And so we see if God does not fulfill that promise, it's worthless in our life. And that's what Paul here is saying, is that Paul, that God has fulfilled that promise in you. And he's fulfilled it through the Holy Spirit. You know, we read in Exodus that when God led the people out of Egypt, he led them with this pillar of fire in the nighttime and cloud in the daytime. And that was a sign to their people, to the people, that they knew where to go. And it was a sign to the people that God's presence was with them. And so the Holy Spirit is the same as what that pillar was thousands of years ago. Now, for us, the church, the pillar is the Holy Spirit. That is God's pillar of flame and cloud. If you notice the language of that first story in Acts, we didn't read it today, but you've read it many times before, you get that same feeling. There's cloud. When the Holy Spirit comes upon them, there's this, you know, there's this kind of hazy mist that comes, and then these kind of tongues of fire come down. The same imagery. Paul, the writer of Acts, Luke, is drawing upon that Old Testament imagery, and God himself is drawing upon that Old Testament promise to bring to light what's happening. And what's happening is when the Spirit came to you, God came to you. All of God came to you. You know, sometimes we have a hard time understanding, like, who is the Holy Spirit? We know God. God's a creator. God's a sustainer. We know Jesus. Jesus is God's son. You know, he's the, saves us and gives us grace. But who is the Holy Spirit? And we see in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is nothing less than God. God in three persons, blessed Trinity, that's what we believe. That in the Godhead that we would call God are three distinct people. The Father, who creates and sustains, the Son, who saves and gives grace, and the Holy Spirit that guides and comforts and leads us on. And we see that throughout the scriptures, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all spoken of as being distinct, but also being very connected. They're, in a sense, one community together. And we see this throughout the scriptures, that when Jesus, at his baptism, God speaks, "This is my Son from whom I am well pleased." In Jesus' life and ministry, Jesus says, "I only do the will of my Father. I and the Father are one." And then Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, "The Spirit will not speak his own words, but only my words." So you have this sense of this interconnected relationship. Scholars have talked about it as a dance, that they're dancing together in perfect love and community, this type of community that we can't even understand. Because we live in a world of broken promises. We live in a world where we can trust the people close to us, but still we can't trust them 100%. Because there's always one thing or two things that the person has done that have hurt us. And so we spend, you know, a lot of years kind of working through that hurt. That's just part of relationships in a broken world. But they live in this perfect relationship of love and sacrifice and care. And that relationship, that love, is given to us through the Holy Spirit. A cloud of flame and the pillar of cloud, that's the Holy Spirit in our life that guides us, that leads us. That's the promise that has been fulfilled in your life. And so the immediate question that you might be asking is, well, what if I don't feel it? What if I don't feel that? What if it, you know, what if it hasn't been that hope to me? What if it hasn't brought me alive? What if it hasn't opened my eyes? Did I miss it? Did I never have it? Do I need to get more of it somewhere? And so that's why Paul follows up, actually, even before he calls it the promised Holy Spirit, he says that the Holy Spirit is a seal on our lives. The word seal is actually had a very specific meaning in Greek that the readers would have understood right away. You know, back in those days, everyone of influence had a seal. It was either a signet ring or it was kind of a stamp. And so you would put that on everything, and it would be a sign of your authority, and it would be a sign of ownership. So if someone was sending a letter, they would put the seal in wax on the letter as a sign of their authority. Whoever opens that letter has the promise that they're going to get what's ever spoken of in that letter. So if it's a word of judgment, they're going to receive that by the person who has authority to give it. If it's a blessing, they're going to receive it as well. If the seal was broken when the other person got it, they know that that letter is no longer valid or that information has somehow been tainted. And it's also a sign of ownership. So the person had the seal, which was their family crest or something else that signified their family or their house. And they would brand that on slaves or brand it on cattle or put it on, you know, their possessions as a sign of ownership. So that's the word Paul is using here to describe what's happened to you if you believe. You've been branded, basically. God's seal is upon you. It's been given to you. So it has those two meanings, the meaning of authority. So that means that if you have heard and believed, then there is this authority over you. You're not your own authority anymore. You are not the end of your life anymore, but there is another authority over your life that speaks into your life, that has authority over your life. The last word in your life is not you and how you feel and your wants and desires. The last word in your life is now God, because the seal of the Holy Spirit has been put on you. But also, secondly, is a mark of ownership. You are no longer who you were because the Holy Spirit has been sealed upon you. So now it's a sign of ownership. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you are not who you were. You are now God's. Like we talked about last week, the inheritance is being God's treasured possession, being God's beloved child. And God gives that to us through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit seals that in you. So if you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, then you are God's beloved child. And that really sounds great. I hope you see just how beautiful that sounds. But the problem, as I alluded to before, is it just doesn't match with our life experience a lot. You know, because the idea of a seal was a public sign. You know, everyone could see who was sealed. If a slave was sealed by their master, you could see it. A letter that was sealed, you could see it. Do people see the Holy Spirit in your life? Do they see this seal of God's ownership of you in your life? And the answer, sadly, for most of us is no. You know, people might interact with you for a long time and they don't notice this seal. And often in our lives, we don't even notice it. You know, like Mumford & Sons, we say, I don't even know if I believe anymore. I don't even know if I get this. And we struggle. And then our lives don't show it. We sin. We fall away. We get in these patterns of hardness and brokenness in our lives. And we go, oh, do I even have it? Did I ever get it? And we wonder. And this is this constant insecurity. Do I need to do something more to get it? And this is why some parts of the church have gone to this idea of a second baptism, that you need something more in your life besides just faith in Christ to actually have all of God. A lot of Pentecostal churches or charismatic churches have kind of gone to this in the past 150 years. So this idea that you get baptized in water, but then also later you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then only then will you have this public sign. You will speak in tongues, you will prophesy, you'll fall over, you know, various things will happen, and that will be the public seal that finally you have this passionate kind of life-changing faith. The first baptism is not enough to give that to you. You need the second one. And it's interesting in this, the language of this passage does not support that at all. So it's interesting to see the tense of what Paul is talking about here. If you believe in a second baptism, you would be tempted, if you know, you can put Ephesians back on the screen if you could. I think it's on there. Oh, yeah, it's on there. Okay, so it says, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So the temptation then is to say, having believed in him, you will be sealed, or at a later time you will be sealed. But look at the tense of that. You were sealed. And that's very intentional. The Greek is like that. There's no variation in the text on that. You were sealed. So what Paul is saying is when you heard the gospel, when you believed the gospel, then the Spirit came upon you and sealed you in him. Not you needed something else or later you will get it, but it happened now. So it's very interesting. How do you get the Holy Spirit? What is the sign that you have the Holy Spirit? The sign is you believe. So if you ever doubt, if you ever wonder, do I have the Holy Spirit? Ask yourself, do I believe in Jesus? Do I even believe a little bit? I may doubt, I may struggle, but do I believe that Jesus was more than a carpenter? That he was more than a lunatic? More than just a radical? Was he the Lord? Did he die for my sins? If I believe that, that's a sign, that's the seal that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. And this is true because throughout the scriptures you see that belief itself is a gift. Belief is not your work. It's not your action. You didn't do it. If you're here and you believe in Jesus Christ, you didn't do that. You know, by your own power or by your own, you know, amazing skills in logic, you didn't somehow discern the mysteries of the ages. The truth of the scriptures is that if you believe, God did that. God led you to that. God instigated it in your life. And so, if you believe, even if you've fallen away, by the way, because Paul doesn't put a caveat on it, even if you're struggling, even if you're in the midst of things you shouldn't be in, if you believed, you've been sealed. The Holy Spirit is a seal on your life, and it's evidenced by your belief. So, the next time you wonder, well, I don't feel it, you know, I didn't have this Pentecost experience, you can trust that just like the first church, you've had a Pentecost experience. If you've heard and believed, you've had a Pentecost experience. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Spirit is on you right now. And it's your task to receive it, to trust the Holy Spirit, to live in it, to rejoice in it in your life. And Paul kind of illustrates that by using the next language that he uses. He says that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee on your life. Now, the word guarantee means two things. It really has this kind of business aspect in the language, just like the prior word does as well. And this word guarantee has the idea of someone buying a house or a car or just some kind of possession. When you buy something, often you only get ownership of it after you put the first payment in, right? If you buy a car, you don't just say, I'll pay for it, and they don't suddenly say, okay, here's the deed. Just pay for it when you can. No, you always have to put a first payment on it, and then you sign the deed. Same with a house. You begin to put your payment on the mortgage, and that's a guarantee that you own it, but then it's also a promise that you're going to pay the rest of it. And that's also what Paul is saying concerning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a sign, as I mentioned before, of ownership. God has paid for you through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit then is a guarantee of that, to show, yes, Christ has paid for my sin. So if you ever wonder, am I saved? You have the guarantee of the Holy Spirit saying, yes, you have. But it's also a promise that what Christ has begun, he will finish. This goes back to verse 10 that we were talking about a couple weeks ago, that God will bring all of heaven and earth under the submission and lordship of Jesus Christ. And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing right now in this now and not yet period between Christ's salvation of the world and his completion of his plan. God, through his Holy Spirit, is working in your life to complete the work that he's done in your life. So you may feel stagnant in your faith. We all do at times. But you can know that whether you feel it or not, God is growing you. He's expanding his glory in you. He's working out the various discordant strains of your life into a tapestry of his glory. So we can wonder sometimes if Paul was living in the real world when he wrote this, or if his eyes were just kind of stuck in heaven and not on earth. Because, as I've talked about before, this doesn't match with our reality at times. But we can know that Paul was living in the real world. He was feeling every frustration, anxiety, uncertainty that we feel because he was stuck in prison. He never got out of prison after this. He was killed sometime after he wrote this. And not killed in just a very nice way, but he was killed in a terrible way, a way of martyrs in the early church. But even in the midst of this, he had an idea. Because he knew of the guarantee of the Holy Spirit, he understood that his life was not in vain. He understood that God is going to take these discordant strands of his life, the loss of his freedom, the mourning, the uncertainty of his future, the anxiety of his present, that God was going to weave those into this tapestry for his good and God's glory, that God was going to weave it all together somehow for the good. We see that throughout scriptures, that all things work together for those who love Christ and are called to his purpose. We see those scriptures and we take great heart in those, but that's really the assurance of the Spirit's presence in your life, that even though you can't see it, and this is one of the hardest realities of Christian life. I would never say this to someone who just lost a son or daughter or experienced some tragedy, that God's going to work it all together for his good, because obviously you can't hear that at that moment. But that is actually what's going on in the scriptures, that somehow every sorrow you've experienced, every anxiety in your present, all that's going on that you just feel like, how can God even be a part of this? All the discordant strains of your life are being woven together into this tapestry of God's glory. And it's for God's glory and for your good. God's doing it for your good. God is looking out for your good in your life. So God may need to convict you of sin. God may need to bring you to a place where you can wake up, but he's doing it for your good because he loves you. And he's doing it for his glory, that his glory may expand in the world. And that's what Paul understood of what the Holy Spirit's doing right now in his life and our lives, turning all these discordant strands into this beautiful tapestry of his love and his glory. So we can trust that. And so our response is to just appreciate what the Holy Spirit is doing. That's our main response, is just to appreciate. Every day get up and say, you know what? This world is soaked in the Holy Spirit. You know, this world is soaking all around us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so much more involved in our lives than we can think about it. He's in every relationship. He's in the midst of our brokenness and sorrow. He is in our schools, in our workplaces. He's in the subway. He's on the street. He's everywhere working for our good and the good of the world and for His glory. We need to wake up and just appreciate that, that God's doing that, that God is in the midst of that. You know, I was talking to a Bible study, an older women's Bible study group about the Holy Spirit some years ago in my prior church. And they're a great group of ladies. I always enjoy kind of hanging out with them because they just have such great questions and often, you know, don't ask the normal questions. And so we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And the question that kept coming up more and more was, if the Holy Spirit is so great, then why don't more Christians rely on Him in their daily life? It's a question that a lot of us have. So we began to kind of unpack that. Well, okay, if the Holy Spirit is so great, why don't more Christians respond and rely on Him in your daily life? And so one lady said, well, maybe we don't have the Spirit. And so we talked about that and realized, oh, that's not true. We do have the Spirit, especially after kind of what we just learned. And then one person said, well, maybe it's like a gift and we've been given the Spirit, but we just haven't opened it up yet. And we thought about that and we're like, it doesn't quite fit either. And then one lady said, well, it's like a gift and we've opened it and we just don't appreciate it. You know, it's like we, like at Christmas time, you know, your mom gives you a gift and you open it up and it's socks. You're like, oh, thanks. You know, I really wanted a guitar, but socks. Awesome. You know, you can use socks. Socks, you need them, you know, but you don't really get excited about socks. It's just this thing that you need, that it's good to have, but yeah, you don't, a present, you want something cool and interesting. And that's often how the Spirit can be in our life. It's working. The Spirit is in us, working in us, but we don't often appreciate it because so much is happening below us and around us that we don't often just get up and go, whoa, socks, you know, awesome, I got some socks. And the reality is the Spirit is obviously much greater than socks, you know. And that's really our task every day, is to experience the greatness of the Holy Spirit. Just to say, God, you're working, I can't understand it. You're working in my life, even though I feel desolate, away, so far away, I never think I can come back to any type of goodness or health. You're working. Even though that person is so far away from you, you're working. Even though this situation is so far beyond anything, any resolution I could see, you're working. And we just appreciate that. And we can call on the Holy Spirit. Like I said before, when we have those moments where we say, God, why have you forsaken me? We know that the Spirit is in that prayer. The Spirit is working in that prayer. So we're called to just appreciate the Holy Spirit. You know, if you've been convicted of sin, thank the Holy Spirit. It's a sign of the Spirit's working in you. If you have felt God's presence in worship or through the word spoken or presented in any way, thank the Holy Spirit. It's a sign of God's working in your life. If you felt, had a conversation where you've been blessed or something has kind of come to light for you, thank the Holy Spirit. In all these things and so many more, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life, guiding you, convicting you, leading you to all truth, leading you to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, giving you peace. So whenever in the midst of those struggles that you face, you find just a measure of peace, just a moment of understanding, just thank the Holy Spirit. Begin to appreciate what the Holy Spirit is doing in such great ways in your life. And then we realize we didn't just get socks. We got a Ferrari. We got something far beyond we could ever understand. Something much greater that's doing much greater things in our life, and just appreciate it. And so lastly, we're just called to be empowered. After we appreciate the Holy Spirit, be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing that I do every week before I preach to you is I just acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is doing something. You know, because sometimes I come up here and I don't really feel super excited. You know, I've had a bad week or something and I just don't feel incredibly inspired. But the one thing I trust is that God is going to speak. Because that's what God does. and he's going to do it. And I just have to trust it and live in it and be empowered by that knowledge. And that's just what we have to do every day, is just trust that God is going to work far beyond our weaknesses, that he's going to work far beyond our limitations, that he is doing something far greater than we can even comprehend, and just to be empowered by that. Take courage from it. Take courage to talk to that person. Take courage to find that healing in your life. Take courage to love someone who doesn't deserve it. Take courage to seek change or to seek goodness in the world around you. Take courage to expand God's glory in the spheres that God has put you in. Take courage because God is doing far more than you are, and be empowered by that knowledge and go. You know, some years ago when we had Hurricane Sandy, this was before I lived here, actually, but talking to some of you and a lot of my friends who lived in the city at that time, they were, you know, saying how they were just felt kind of stuck in their house for 3 or 4 days, glued to the TV. I know some of you experienced that during Hurricane Sandy. But with the Holy Spirit, we're really called to the opposite response. Instead of staying in our comfort zone and locking ourselves in, we're called to actually go out into the storm. We're called to walk out into the hurricane and to see what God does, to let God expand his glory and let God assure us of our salvation. So we're called not to be comfortable with the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you, receive the seal of the Holy Spirit on your life. Receive the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, and then go out and trust him in the ways God has called you to serve. Dear Lord God, we thank you. We ask your forgiveness for times we've treated your gift of the Holy Spirit like socks. The guarantee of our salvation we receive, the seal of it, the promise that's been fulfilled, we just treat it as something we need, something, you know, that helps us, but not something we especially are excited about, something that doesn't give us courage and guidance and strength for our day. Thank you, Lord, that you are much more than socks, and your Holy Spirit is a gift much greater than just something we need, but something that can really transform our lives and is transforming our lives. Lord God, help us to appreciate your Spirit. Help us to take assurance from the seal and guarantee of it on our lives, and help us to respond by letting your Spirit empower us for the tasks at hand that you've given us, to be faithful Christians in a world that doesn't understand what it means to be faithful to you. Lord, help us to receive your courage of your Holy Spirit, and be empowered. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.